Well, we have a lot of guests here today. All welcome to be here. We're glad you're here, yes. We welcome those that are watching on Facebook, and we welcome Jesus Christ right here, right now, into our presence. He's been invited. And so we're going to go to the book of Luke this morning, and we're going to learn about an unwelcome guest. Little different. Yes. Luke chapter 7. Did I say 8? I think I did. Chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come to his home for a meal. So Jesus accepted the invitation and sat down to eat. First scripture tells us this. If you invite Jesus to dinner, you don't have to worry about whether or not he's going to show up. He comes to every invitation. He's always our welcomed guest. So if you call upon him and ask him to come and sit at your table, he's going to show up. So even throughout all of our lives, whenever you need to hear from God, whenever you need to listen to what the teachings of Jesus, just invite him to your table and he'll sit down and maybe you can give him something to eat. I'm the type of person, I wouldn't want to feed him what I cook, so I want to be nice to Jesus. So consequently, it may be a to-go order for him. But needless to say, are you constantly, every single day, inviting Jesus into your table? Where's your table? The heart, the mind, the soul, right? Everywhere, every part of your life, particularly the mind, I must say. That's the place where most of us act from. So it's important that Jesus, when he comes to sit at our table, as he's sitting there, that's an opportunity for us to listen and to learn. So just keep that in mind. Moving along. So needless to say, I would say this. The Pharisee invited Jesus. Now, most of us don't care for Pharisees very much, do we? We see them as legalistic people who are judgmental, people that put a lot of things on people, people that Jesus shouldn't love at all, right? You're afraid to say what you want to say, right? Love your neighbor, right? But here's the thing about Jesus. He wants mercy and grace for everyone, including a Pharisee, including someone who judges, someone who points fingers, someone who condemns, someone who's negative, someone who says things about others, someone who gossips, someone who thinks they're better than somebody else. We don't know those somebody's here, but needless to say, there are some somebody's like that, right? But Jesus was invited by that Pharisee, that sinful person, right? Because those kind of things that I was describing are what we would call sin. It's being different than God. That's how I sometimes describe sin. It's something where God would tell you what to do and you don't do it. Love everyone, right? That's what Jesus taught. So needless to say, first verse, we see that whoever invites Jesus to the table, he comes and he sits down. So no matter who you are, no matter, you don't have to do anything or be perfect ever for you to invite Jesus into your heart. You understand that today? It's not who you are. It's not who you've been. It's not what you do. It's just the fact that you sent out an invitation and he RSVP'd each and every one of us. He wants to come and dine with all of us and be a part of all of our lives. Okay, moving along. A certain immoral woman heard that Jesus was there and brought a beautiful jar filled with expensive perfume. Now, just to give you an idea of what the culture was like back then, because sometimes you would think, well, what's she doing showing up at this dinner table, right? You know, nobody invited her, right? But in this culture, whenever there was someone important at a dinner, very often, the people of that town or village could come and just sit, not be part of the table, not be part of the food, but listen to what the important person was saying, kind of eavesdropping, if you will. It'd be just like having an Oval Office dinner, and all of a sudden, you just come there and are listening and paying attention to what's being said by those prominent people. You could go to England and sit there with the Queen of England and just listen, not be a part of what the dining experience is, but to listen. But most importantly, we see that Jesus allows anyone in to come and listen and kind of eavesdrop on what's being said, right? So just know this woman had every right to be there, just so you understand. So there wasn't any throwing out of this woman, at least shouldn't have happened. Then she knelt behind Jesus at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on him. When the Pharisee, who was the host, saw what was happening and who this woman was, we got a little problem with the Pharisee now, don't we? She's already been described as a certain immoral woman. She's known about town for being a certain immoral woman. Doesn't even have a name. But this Pharisee knows she's immoral. So in the Pharisee's mind, what is he thinking? This is an unwelcome guest. She doesn't belong here. She doesn't deserve to be here. And by far, she has no right touching Jesus. This is what his judgment is all about here. And then he said to himself, this proves that Jesus is no prophet. If God had really sent him, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. If God had really sent him, he would not be allowing her to touch him. Do you see how this theology in this Pharisee's mind is warped and backwards? Do you see how he's coming from a human perspective? And I'm going to go beyond to say this. I believe there's another guest at this table with this Pharisee. I call it Satan. I call it the devil. I call it someone who's putting a thought in this Pharisee's mind that this woman doesn't deserve to be around Jesus. And take God's word, who says anyone can come to me, anyone can be forgiven, anyone can be a part of my kingdom. I came to save and seek and save the lost, is what Jesus said, right? Do you see how the Pharisee gets this religion backwards? And do you see how he's judging this woman? And not only is he judging the woman, most importantly, he's judging Jesus. That's exactly what Satan always does. He's the accuser. He's going to take the truth and twist it. He's going to put a lie there. Because no way would God touch a sinner or allow a sinner to touch him, right? Then Jesus spoke up and answered his thoughts. Do you notice this? The man was thinking this. He didn't say it out loud. He didn't say, hey, Jesus, what are you doing letting this woman touch you? He didn't say to the woman, get away from Jesus. He was thinking it in his thoughts. And here's the thing about Jesus and about God. God knows every one of every person's thoughts, right? And when Satan puts a thought in someone's mind as what happened here, what does Jesus do about it? He confronts it. He answers that thought. And I want to teach a lesson this morning for all of us. All the time we have an unwelcome guest. And to be unwelcome means they don't belong at all. Each and every one of us all the time have these thoughts that come into our head, some godly and some not so godly, right? We know we get suggestions all the time. We get deceptions and lies told to us either about ourselves or about others, about God and who God is and who God isn't, or about how we are to judge others and how we are to condemn them, and all those kind of thoughts that all of us have. And I'm not the only one that has those, correct? We're going to tell the truth this morning, are we not? Beautiful. The truth sets us free, does it not? Because regardless of whether or not you do it, here's the thing about Jesus, and I think it's also the thing about most of us. We can perceive people's thoughts, can't we? Because very often it's shown where? On their face, in their body language, with their clenched fist at us, right? You can tell what's sometimes going on in a person's mind, right? You know Satan showing up in your head, don't you? Okay, wait. We got to work on that, don't we? We all have the propensity, because evil is always lurking around us. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. I'm going to go to it. There we go. I'll actually read it out of the Bible. How about that? Be careful. Watch out for attacks in your mind from the devil. Where does the devil attack us? In our mind. The thoughts we think. Morning, noon, and night, even in your dreams sometimes, even in the least little action that someone does or doesn't do, we react. Why? Because Satan is constantly trying to trip us up and attack us and cause us to sin. That's his whole job, and to move away from God. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. Your enemy. People are not your enemies. We have one enemy, Satan. And when we don't even believe in Satan, he wins. So Satan, and then it goes on to say, as Peter's writing, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. He prowls around. When we're sitting at that table, when we're sitting around a table in a restaurant, when you're sitting in the fellowship hall, when you're sitting at your table at home, when you're sitting wherever you're sitting, in your car perhaps, and you're doing what you're doing, he's prowling around too. He's right there with you, ready to attack in our mind and cause us to think like this Pharisee thought, right? And judge somebody else. React to someone else negatively, and to act exactly the opposite of the way God would want us to act. We all be like Jesus, right? I want to hear it louder. Thank you. And Satan's going to lie to you to try to tell you that you're not capable of being like Jesus. See, that's a lie in and of itself too. Right? You're not worthy of it. You're not deserving of it. You're not good enough. All those things that are, I call them word curses. It's the way Satan curses at us to try to tell us what we're not. But you're a child of God. You're the image of God. You're also the character of God. And if you'll only listen to God's words and God's guidance and God's teachings in your head and act on those, how better would your life be? How much wonderful will your relationship be? And how much more will you be showing people Jesus? See, Satan's getting a lot of press right now because evil is running rampant throughout the world. And some of that we can't control except by prayer. But my goal here is today, and as your pastor, is to help you in your own mind to fight off the attacks of the devil, so that you don't fall prey to that. So evil doesn't come into your house. Evil doesn't come and sit down at your table. You don't entertain Satan and say, here, let me feed you something. Because our thoughts can be fed, can't they? There's a great saying that says, there's a wolf and a lamb. And the question is, one's evil and one's good. And the philosopher says, how do you control that? The evil and the good. And it says, whichever one you feed. Starve the devil. Stop feeding into his lies. Stop listening to his suggestions and his twisted words. Stop judging others. Stop doing the things that people do. And judgment isn't just like this great big thing that this Pharisee is doing, calling this woman an immoral person and dissing Jesus. Because this woman who's come, she's come here weeping at his feet, kissing him, praising him, worshiping him. And so here's what Jesus does, and this is what I want us all to do. I want us to take the perspective off of this Pharisee and put it on the woman. Put yourself in Jesus's place. When you're sitting with someone who's sorrowful because of the sins that they have committed, and they acknowledge those, and they're seeking forgiveness, they're seeking mercy, they're seeking grace, and maybe they did that awful thing to you, and yet they're coming to make amends with you. If Satan has his way, he's going to keep that relationship severed, isn't he? But not God. God is a God of reconciliation, resolution, and forgiveness, and mercy and grace. And it's not just a song that we sing. What makes grace so amazing is that we don't deserve it, and neither does the person that has done something to us. They don't deserve to be forgiven. And it's not about what we deserve, is it ever? It's what God gave us. And so we in turn give it to others, right? So here's what transpires. Jesus spoke up and answered his thoughts. And I want you to start speaking up to Satan. It's time to be bold. It's time to take on Satan for what he is, the liar. And speak against even your own thoughts. If you think anything negative, even right now, about me, I'm not giving you any suggestions. I'm not going to give you any, like, what you could think about kind of things. And I'm certainly not going to say for you to think about all the bad things you've done and get your mind going on. See how easy it is, right? The power of suggestion, influence, right? When you start to hear those negative things, or it seems good and you know it isn't, because in your heart and in your gut you know it's not, I want you to speak against those things. When you say to yourself, oh, I'm so tired, I'm worn out, I can't possibly make it to church today. Try being my age and get here. That's a lie from the devil trying to keep you from hearing the word of God, getting you uplifted and then reviving you and giving you new energy, right? Speak against it. You know what? Do the opposite of what he tells you to do or not to do. When I was a kid, I was a little bit of a rebel. I know. Oh, what? You weren't in my childhood. Oh, maybe I still am that, right? All I know is every time I rebelled against my parents, it always went wrong. It went south. I have to be. But to those same kids who tried to get me to do some of the stuff that they were doing in my childhood, I did rebel against those things. Right? So you can rebel against the right things, can't you? Yeah. See? All right. There's a point to this. Jesus said, I have something to say to you, Simon. Then Jesus, and here's what Simon says. All right, teacher, go ahead. Oh, boy. Is he asking for it, right? Sometimes when God's speaking to you and you've done something, you ever have that moment where you think, oh, that wasn't, and then God says, I have something to say to you. You go, all right, well, go ahead, say it. But that helps us change and grow, does it not? We want to be the best we can be for God, right? So Simon says, go ahead. And then Jesus told him a story about a man loaned money to two people. You already know the story? $500 were owed to one, not much to the other. And then both of them were supposed to be forgiven. And the guy that had the 500, he didn't want to forgive the other person. Remember all that, right? Yeah, okay. And what, listen, while he's telling this story, and you can read it later, while Jesus is telling this story, the woman is still weeping and worshiping and praising Jesus this whole time. And sometimes when we read this scripture, and I know you've heard these scriptures before, we sometimes think, well, I know that story. You know, the Pharisee had as much or more sins than she did, and we try to balance it out, like which sin is worse? Sin is sin is sin, right? And it doesn't matter how many or how few, they're all forgiven. So for those of you that are kind of like super achievers in sinning, it's perfectly okay. If Satan kind of leads you down the wrong path, it's okay to go ask God for forgiveness. You'll be forgiven of all those sins. But that doesn't make you better because you be or less. I've got less sin than you, and you than me. You see comparisons, what it does? We're all sinners. And just in different ways. And we all need the grace of God and the mercy of Jesus Christ, right? And now that we've also received that, what must we do? Give it to others. Unending grace. As we sang in the song earlier, that same grace that we've received, what Simon isn't understanding, this Pharisee, that this woman needed grace and mercy. And here's the thing. We often think that she came because she was seeking forgiveness, right? We don't know that in the story. What we do know is she knew Jesus was there. And maybe he had already talked to her along the road. Maybe he met her one-on-one, as he often did, and it's not recorded in Scripture. And maybe she heard he was there and she thought, wow, I feel so free. I feel so wonderful that I've been forgiven. I've been so pent up with all this guilt and shame, and yet he gave me forgiveness. I got to find this man and thank him for it. And she was bold enough to walk in, not afraid of the devil sitting at that table. She was bold enough to go into that place where she could have been thrown out, perhaps, because as far as the Pharisee was concerned, she was an unwelcome guest, right? But not to Jesus. But she was bold enough and brave enough to go there and worship upon Jesus because her gratitude was so great. Those that are forgiven much, love much, right? That's what it ends up saying here in the scriptures. And those that love much, forgive much. You can only forgive as much as you love. And I don't know, see, I've often wondered, I've been forgiven for an awful lot, and I'm still constantly having to be forgiven. So I'll give a blanket statement. Whatever I've done to any of you in the last 5 minutes, please forgive me. And if it's before that, or before that, or before, you good with that? And guess what? I forgive you too. But here's the point. When we have little love, we can't forgive, can we? See, this thing that this man needed the most, and I think that's why Jesus went to see Simon the Pharisee, we make him the villain in the story, right? Often. He's just another person who doesn't understand forgiveness and mercy. He's going to learn it today through Jesus, though. Because even this man, as judgmental as he is and as condemning as he is, Jesus is going to die for him on the cross and forgive him too. Even those that are accused of, see, he's only a minion, he's only an agent for Satan in this story. That's all he is. And Satan thought he won, but he didn't. The men at the table said among themselves, see, it's not just the one guy. Be careful of the company that you keep, I want to say. The men at the table said among themselves, who does this man think he is going around forgiving others? Satan's at it again, isn't he? Where did that thought come from? Satan. Who does he infiltrate? The whole table. Who's the unwelcome guest ultimately at this table? Satan. When he knocks on your door, the door of your mind, do not let him in. Lock the bolt. Put a chest in front of it. Put a no trespassing sign on your heart and your mind. Because he wants to help you trespass, doesn't he? Tricky, isn't he? I don't know where my notes are here. They're somewhere. And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And here's what the word peace here is in the Greek. Freedom from all that distresses you from the experiences that you've had as a result of sin. That kind of peace. In other words, so often we feel the results of sin, right, in our own selves, right? She left because she was forgiven, and also she was given peace of heart and mind to know she no longer was going to be distressed any longer by the sin she had committed. It's as though he gave her spiritual amnesia around what she had done wrong. That's what Jesus did for this woman. So who was the unwelcome guest? Who are you going to keep out of your mind? Who are you going to come against who tries to come against you or anyone else? Whose suggestions are you going to listen to? Very good. You caught on. You did good. You did good. I'm going to read to you exactly what Jesus wrote to me in my sermon preparation because I think it really needs to be said. I thought it was just for me, but I'll share it. Do not let what others think of you or even what you think about yourself stop you from coming in to be with me. Come to my table, wherever I am. I invited you. I set the table. Come sit and dine with me, just as I sat and dined with the Pharisee and Zacchaeus. Oh, Jesus remembered that day. If Satan also tries to come in to your mind, throw him out. Satan prowls around trying to get a seat at your table. Don't let him even get a seat. Say, this seat is taken. It's for me. It's for Jesus. And each and every day, you are welcome to sit at Jesus' table. You're also, I pray, inviting Jesus to sit at your table. And if the devil tries to show up, if you have to get rid of every other chair in your house and only have two, one for you and one for God, Jesus, and do so. But I know that's a literal thing. The most important place that we can keep Satan from is in our mind, right? We have to begin to really understand that he's prowling around, talking to us, trying to cause dissension and division amongst us and every other person, someone in your own home, someone in your own family, sometimes even within your own self. We've got to come against that and be bold about that. So here's the thing. This woman who was forgiven became the welcome guest, correct? Consider yourself one of God's welcomed guests. Secondarily, always make Jesus feel welcome in your life. And if Satan tries to show up and ruin your party and rain on your parade and cause you to feel ill will toward yourself or someone else, give him the boot. Keep the doors of your mind locked at all times. But more importantly, because Satan is so subtle and so sneaky, be on alert. If anything that's said to you or you start to think within yourself about yourself or someone else is the least bit negative or judgmental, and if you hear yourself saying, he, she, or they, and you're going to put a nice little paragraph around it of what you're judging them to be, that's not like you. We call it criticism, judgment. Those are the words of Satan, not of God. Because God wants to give us eyes to see people all equally, all especially made in God's image, but particularly loved and offered mercy and grace, no matter what. Let's not fall into any more traps that Satan sets for us. And it doesn't have to be a great big bear trap that you get clobbered with. It could be that little bit of suggestion. You know, when you want to change something in your life, anybody here ever repented of anything? We're going to repent of some things this morning even, aren't we? Because just like this woman, she had some stuff going on, right? She had some sin in her life. And for us not to even admit that we have it is also a problem. We have to acknowledge it. Call it what it is, and ask for God's forgiveness of it, and help us change with it, right? I know this. The only way sometimes to fight off Satan is to focus and pray and be so enwrapped in relationship with God and Jesus Christ that nothing can get in. The more you put your mind and your heart and your soul and what you read, what you see, what you learn, where you go, the kind of things you look at, whether it's on Facebook or the news or any other place, television, movies, you name it. Satan's everywhere. Be on alert. He's trying to entrap you by some of those things. And if you start to wonder, you know, about someone else being less than or more than you or whatever those kind of things are, that doesn't come from God. God shows absolutely no partiality. And even though some of us consider ourselves his favorites, because those of us that have been forgiven much love him much. And that's where God loves that enjoyment of our worship towards him. But the more you focus in and hunger and thirst for God and God alone, if you have to find one good thing about yourself or somebody else that becomes your great answer to everything and anything, When someone tries to start to tell you something about somebody else and it's derogatory, you got to have a pat line. And it's not bless their heart. Or let's pray for sister so-and-so. She's struggling with such and such a sin. We're not here to be people's judges, are we? We're here to be people's support system, encouragers, and to find the very best in one another. When you disparage another person and judge them harshly, as Satan would, you're dishonoring and disparaging God. And God makes absolutely no junk. So let's together as a group be on alert. Be bold against Satan when he tries to come against us through our thought life. And let's focus our attention, our heart, our minds, and our souls, and our very lives focused in on who God is, who Jesus is, and make worshiping him and praising him and praising his creation, all creation, make that the thing that we do. And then we'll all have peace with one another and with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.